The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we'll talk about what to do on your arrival and departure days during your Disney World trips. That's coming up on this episode 94 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 94. Today, we are going to talk about some ideas for things to do on your arrival and departure days during your Disney World trips, because those days are partial days, and so it's sort of hard to know how to plan them, but I have some ideas for you today. I will also get into a couple of news slash housekeeping items, and as always, a quick tip of the day at the very end. Before we dive in, my usual reminders to follow along on social media. Recently, just passed 30,000 people on the Facebook page, which is really fun. And then I really like using Instagram. And when I'm in the parks, I actually use Snapchat. So you can find me there. You can also find me on Tumblr and Pinterest and Twitter. I'm just all over the place. So pick your favorite platforms and look me up there as WW Prep School and follow along. So I want to talk about planning your trips because, you know, as you figure out what you want to do every day, it's pretty easy to know what to do in between your arrival and departure days. Most people are in the parks on those days. But when you are planning these partial days, it's hard to know what to fit in. And I sort of have some conflicting thoughts about this. My overall thought is that it's a good idea to start and end a trip with a bang, which is to say that you should find something really fun to do. That will be a fun way to kick it off and a fun way to wrap it up. But I don't want you to stress yourself out in the process. So it kind of depends on how much time you have. So for longer trips, I actually might suggest that you do very little on your arrival and departure days because you have time in between to get it all done. And so that might include just checking out your resort. It might just include swimming at your resort, that kind of thing. I think that during trips, we often don't make time to explore the resort that we're staying at, even though there's often lots to do, because there's so much to do in the parks that you actually don't spend a lot of time at your resort. So it's kind of nice to have your arrival or departure days to do things like that. In 2011, we went to Disney World and stayed at Port Orleans Riverside with two other families. And one of my sister-in-laws, who is just as crazy about Disney World planning as I am, and who is more creative, she had made these scavenger hunt books that she left at the desk. So when we all checked in, every child got one. And I think there were eight kids on this trip, including my two. And so when we checked in, each of my kids had this like spiral bound scavenger hunt book, and it was clasped with a sticker with their initial on it. So my daughter's name is Peyton, and she had a P sticker. My son's name is Blake. He had a B sticker. And when they opened it up, it was things to find at Port Orleans Riverside. So, and I took a video of what it looks like, and I'll include that in the show notes just so you can see it, because I was completely blown away at the creativity and the amount of work that she put in. But my point is that that's what we did on arrival day, was we just took the time to explore Port Orleans Riverside. It is a big resort. There's lots of stuff to do. It's pretty. And so it was just sort of a fun way to get to know our way around and not be too stressed out on our arrival day. So that's my suggestion if you have a longer trip. And by longer trip, I mean at least a week, is to just sort of take it easy on your arrival and departure days. That way, if you have any flight delays or any, you know, issues like that, you're not going to worry too much about it because you're not rushing to get to a reservation. However, if you have a shorter trip, you might want to include some park time. And this is actually, most of my trips are short. I go several times a year, but I only go for usually 3 to 5 days at a time, whereas in the past, before I started the website, my trips were more like 7 to 10 days. So now that I do these shorter trips, I do usually include park time on both arrival and departure days. And I don't write trip reports anymore because my trips are not anything that you should be learning from. And this is one of the reasons is that I often do try to pack in as much as possible. And for me, if I miss things, and I have missed things, I've missed dining reservations and fast pass reservations and things like that, I don't stress about it too much because I do this a lot and I know I'll catch it next time. But for most people who travel less frequently, missing a dining reservation would be a really stressful way to kick off a trip, or missing a fast pass reservation, that kind of thing. But if you have a shorter trip, sometimes that's the best way to maximize your time is to include park time on those days. So I have a couple of thoughts for people that do want to include park time. First of all, most people that have packages booked have to check in at their resort before going to a park. This may or may not be true for everybody. They do have that new system where they will text you to say that your room is ready and that you can go straight to your room. But many people who have booked packages have to go to their resort first before going to the park. And my reason I'm bringing this up is that if you're trying to maximize your time and go straight from the airport to a park, it may not work for you. Your magic bands may not work. Your tickets will not. However, if you booked a room only reservation and your park ticket separately, there is no reason you can't go straight to a park, assuming you have a way to get there. Which brings me to my next point. And that is that the Magical Express bus will not take you from the airport to a park. Magical Express buses go to resorts, and the bus that you have to get on is the one for your resort. So a lot of people ask me, can I get on a different Magical Express bus? Can the Magical Express bus take me somewhere else? The answer is no, it just can't. And I have been in this situation. I have been the person trying to rush to the parks and stuck on a Magical Express bus. I have been there with many people and waiting for somebody to show up for a dining reservation and was frustrated that we had to wait on the Magical Express bus. But the fact is, if you're using Magical Express bus, you are bound to their schedules and their routes. However, the advice that I gave a family member who was running late from a flight and was not able to make our dining reservation on time was, as soon as that Magical Express bus gets to your resort, you can drop any bags that you have with luggage services right at the front of the hotel and then go to the bus stop that takes you to the parks or wherever it is that you're going. So if you're going to a dining reservation that's outside of the parks, like for instance, we were going to Chef Mickey. So when my family member's flight was delayed, I said to him, drop your bags at luggage services at Port Orleans Riverside and then go immediately to the bus stop to get to go to the Magic Kingdom and then walk over to the Contemporary to join us for dinner. So although Magical Express will not take you to the parks, you can sort of speed it up if you do it that way. But if you're going inside the parks, you may have to stop by the front desk to make your park ticket work. Another thing to consider if you're doing this, like if you're doing park time on arrival day and maybe you're running behind, your flight's delayed, is that you might be stressed out about missing FastPass Plus reservations. And this happens to me all the time. I tend to schedule them just a few hours after arrival, and it doesn't always work because we have delayed flights. Sometimes Magical Express takes a long time, et cetera. Just remember that you can try to reschedule those. So if you know that you're delayed, you can open the app on your phone and try to reschedule it. It's obviously based on availability and it may or may not work for you, but that is something that you can do. If you're running late for a dining reservation, you will usually be okay to show up late, but you can also call and let them know that you are coming just to make sure you don't get charged a no-show fee. But usually that'll be okay. So that's arrival day tips for people that want to do park time. On your departure day, I did a whole podcast about my typical departure day routine, and that includes dropping off going to the airline check-in desk at the resort and taking our checked bags, getting our boarding passes there, then taking our carry-on bags to luggage services at the hotel, and then boarding a bus to the parks, and then coming back about an hour before Magical Express picks up to pick up the bags that we left with luggage services, and then boarding the Magical Express bus to get back to the airport. So it's a little bit hectic. It does stress us out at times. I've had some close calls. You don't want to miss your Magical Express bus. I'll link to that podcast in the show notes just so you can get more detail about my departure day routine. But this is something that my whole family is used to, and this is something that we always do. But I'm just warning you that it could be very stressful if anything goes wrong. And I have an advantage of being there a lot, so I'm familiar with the process. But anyway, so that's sort of, if you want to include park time on arrival and departure day, those are some tips I have for you. Another idea for arrival and departure day is to go to a character meal. So our family's tradition has been to do Chef Mickey's on arrival day, and that's pretty much all we do usually. I mentioned that we, explore Port Orleans Riverside on that one trip, the resort. But most of the time we do go to Chef Mickey's. It's just a fun way to kick off a trip. The food's not fantastic, but the environment's fun. It has all the classic characters. It's inside the Contemporary. You ride the monorail in. There's just a lot to love about it. And, you can take the monorail for a spin after dinner or whatever. But we just really like that as a great way to kick off a trip. And it's really nice that you can get there by taking buses to Magic Kingdom and then walking over to the Contemporary, because often traveling between resorts is complicated. But in this case, since you have access to Magic Kingdom buses and then can walk to the Contemporary, it makes it a bit easier. I might also suggest that you look into character meals that are just near where you are. And this is easier if you're staying at a deluxe resort, because deluxe resorts, many of them have their own specialty meals, character meals, that kind of stuff. So it makes it much easier when you don't have to worry about the transportation. So for instance, when we stay at the Beach Club, our checkout day only included a character meal at Cape May Cafe, which is a character breakfast buffet right there at the hotel. And so it gave us time to get our stuff packed up and take it to luggage services and do my whole departure day routine, and then casually walk over to the restaurant that's right there in the hotel. So that's easy. But if you're staying at a value or a moderate resort, that's not as easy to do. But I would just implore you to consider your transportation options if you do this. And if you are trying to squeeze things into a very short time, like, maybe just a few hours that you have on your departure day, I would suggest not relying on Disney transportation. It takes a long time. And so this is where I tend to break out the taxi, I call the taxi or I call an Uber or something like that. I know I talk a lot about Uber because we use it a lot, and many of you with small children have said, but there's no car seats included. So a taxi for you is a better idea because you can request car seats there. But I would definitely strongly implore you to consider different options when your time is short. Disney transportation isn't always very fast, and often it does take a long time. Another thing to consider on your arrival or departure days is a visit to Downtown Disney. I have a confession. I don't go to Downtown Disney very much, and that is because my trips are short. And so when I'm sort of trying to figure out how to spend my, 3 to 5 days every time I'm there, usually it's in the parks. And so Downtown Disney isn't a part of it. I did visit Downtown Disney in May because I wanted to try out the boathouse. But it might be a good option for you on an arrival or departure day, particularly if, for instance, on your departure day, you want to go there to pick up some last minute souvenirs or something like that. There's lots of shopping, lots of things to do like that. You just need to consider the times that all the stores are open and make sure that those things that you want to do are available for the time period that you're going to be there. And, if there's no other time in your schedule to visit Downtown Disney, then this might be a great opportunity to sort of squeeze it in to your trip. So I hope some of these ideas are helpful. Bottom line is, I want you to have a good beginning and ending, and whether that means taking it easy so that you're not stressed out or planning something really fun to start or end it, you have to make a decision about what's best for you. But I hope that it won't be stressful and make you sort of begin or end your trip with a bad taste in your mouth. I do have some news items to talk about today. The first thing is that 2016 Disney World packages will be available to book on June 22nd. And that is about a month earlier than normal. Last year it was at the end of July that they opened up packages. And when I posted about this on the Facebook page, I literally pretty much just said that 2016 packages are available June 22nd. There were a lot of questions that surprised me. A lot of people started bringing up discounts being available, and this has nothing to do with discounts. This is literally just the ability to book it because it previously has not been available. We haven't had 2016 pricing. You could not go on the Disney World website and book a package for 2016 at all. So people going then have just sort of been waiting. And so this has nothing to do with discounts. I do anticipate discounts being released later on this year, but this is just strictly booking it. And so if you book it now, you can always apply the discount later. But I don't anticipate that yet. It'll be some months before those are released, most likely. And when you book 2016 packages, you can book those up to 499 days ahead of time, which I think puts you through the beginning of November. So on that date, June 22nd, if you happen to be traveling in mid-November through December, you won't be able to book that yet, but you will be able to book that by July or so. You know, just count the 499 day mark and count backwards, and that's when you'll be able to book it. So that is exciting. I'm excited about this being released now. This year has sort of been Disney releasing things earlier than normal. They released Halloween Party and Christmas Party dates earlier and made those tickets for sale earlier. And some discounts came out earlier than normal. And so now this. And what's great about it is that people traveling in January have often had a bit of a conundrum as they contemplated when to book, because their 180-day mark was often before they could even book a package. So that made it kind of tricky. But this will fix that problem. So hopefully the January 2016 travelers will be online June 22nd and booking, so then they can make their dining reservations. All right. The second thing is that Frozen Ever After is what we found out the name of the new ride at Epcot is going to be. Now, this is in the Norway section of the World Showcase. It used to be Maelstrom, and they closed Maelstrom, and they announced that they were going to create a Frozen ride, and there's also going to be a meet and greet building or section area for Anna and Elsa to be there as well. And we just found out that that's going to be called Frozen Ever After. And we also found out that it's basically going to be a reskin, something that we had hoped would not be the case. I mean, there are a lot of people angry that there's going to be a Frozen presence in the World Showcase period, because it's supposed to be about learning about the countries and not about the movies and the, you know, animated characters. But if they were going to close it for over a year, we thought, okay, good, maybe this will be a substantially new thing. But what we found out in the Wall Street Journal, and I'll link to that article in the show notes, is that it's basically the same boats. It's going to be the same path that you ride, but it's just that the scenery is going to be Frozen related. So we learned that just this week. And I think Disney has been saying that this is going to be opening in spring 2016. And the date that I have heard they're working towards, and this is not in the Wall Street Journal article, is May 1st, 2016. So we'll see how that pans out. But if you're planning a trip in 2016, that's sort of something to keep in mind, is that maybe around May 1st is when it will become available. Once again, when I posted this information on the Facebook page, the questions were a lot about fast passes and how this is going to work. And I don't know. Obviously, we're too far out to know. We're almost a year away from this being open. But a lot of people are asking me if this is going to be a tier one, which, you know, Epcot has tiers. So when you book your fast passes, you have to choose one from the tiers. I do think this will be a tier one. The current options in tier one, there's a kind of a limited availability for rides without height requirements, because the two main attractions, Test Track and Soarin', both have height requirements. And so I think Disney's going to throw this Frozen ride in there, and they are going to make it a tier one fast pass. So you have to choose between Soarin', Test Track, or Frozen Ever After. And so if that is what happens, then my suggestion would be to fast pass Frozen Ever After, ride Soarin' at park opening, and ride Test Track on the single rider line, and that will help you avoid lines for all three. So that's something I look forward to for next year. And then a couple of sort of housekeeping things. One is that the 100th episode of this podcast is coming up, and this is episode 94. And I thought it'd be fun to have a episode full of tips. You know, I'm always giving tips at the end of every episode. So now we're up to, as of this episode, I will have given 94 quick tips. And I would like to hear more tips from you. I think people love to hear it. I learned so much from you guys. You find out stuff that I would have never thought of. And so I'm going to post a link in the show notes to SpeakPipe, which is where you call in and you leave a voicemail, essentially. And then I can include your tip in the 100th episode. And so I'd love to have an all tips or mostly tips episode for the 100th episode. So please call in. You can do that through your computer or through the SpeakPipe app, but I'll have information in the show notes about how to do that. Another housekeeping item is that the monthly dashboards have a save as PDF option for the calendar. So the monthly dashboards on the website, if you've never been on them, they are basically information about every month of the year, including what refurbishments are scheduled for each month, a trip planning checklist, which special events, crowd predictions, and a calendar. The calendar is what takes up most of the space. And so it has the park hours for all of the parks, the entertainment schedule, which parks I suggest going to each day, that sort of thing. And they have recently been going through some changes. I was having a hard time maintaining them. It's a lot of work. And so they are now database driven. I had some programmers develop a database so I could track this information in one central location. And when they updated it, the PDFs went away. And by popular demand, the save as PDF option has been built into it. So now you can save them and you can put it on your computer, and that way you can open it, print it, etc. So I just wanted to let you know, in case you were a user of the monthly dashboards, to go look for the save as PDF option. Incidentally, since we're talking about park hours, I think a new batch of park hours is going to be coming out tomorrow on Monday, the June 15th. And so my assistant Heather and I will be on it right away to update all the park hours for all of the months that have updates. And in addition, January's hours should be out at that time. I always post the updates to the hours on the Facebook page, and I also link to them from Twitter, and I email all of the monthly email lists to let them know what changed for their month. So be on the lookout for that if you are going within the next 6 or 7 months. So finally, I have a quick tip of the day before we wrap it up. And this is something I've been doing. I have been on, I think, 6 flights this year, and this is a tip that I've been using a lot. And that is that you can use a Ziploc bag to hold your phone on a plane. And this is a tip I learned on Pinterest, and I thought, okay, someday I'm going to probably use that. Now, here's the idea. If you have a tablet, it probably had, you know, many of them have cases or stands that you can prop them up on the plane and watch TV. But many of us have phones that we use. I have a iPhone 6 Plus. It's huge. I don't use my iPad as much because my 6 Plus has so much screen space that I don't feel the need. But my iPhone 6 does not have a case or a kickstand or anything to prop it up. So when you're on a plane and it has Wi-Fi, and I usually fly Southwest, and many other planes have in-flight TV that you can watch for free, I can't easily watch it without holding my phone for, you know, all the hours that I'm on the plane. So the idea is that you take a Ziploc, you slip your phone in it, and then you clasp it with the clasp that holds the tray up in front of you. And I taught a guy next to me on a plane to do this on a recent flight, and I posted it on Instagram. So I'll just link to that in the show notes so you can see what I'm talking about. But when my family recently flew back from California, we watched the entire Tony Awards this way. I had my 6 Plus hanging in front of us. My son had an earbud in, and I had the other one, and we watched the entire Tony Awards. And before we knew it, our plane was landing back in Texas. So anyway, that's my tip, is that if you want to watch anything on your phone and you don't have any way to prop it up, a Ziploc is a really easy way to do it. And many of you already have Ziplocs in your bags because you use it to store all your liquids when you board the plane and go through security. So anyway, that's my tip of the day. And I think that will wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information, including all the show notes I mentioned, you can look in the podcast app that you use, or you can go to wwwprepschool.com/episode94. That is the number 94. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.